This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
America continues to arm its allies amid ongoing trade tensions with China. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in India today for a meeting with the country's foreign minister. The pair are expected to sign a military equipment deal that would add to the $20 billion in U.S. defense sales authorized earlier this year. It's not the only show of force in the region, though. The Trump administration has also notified Congress it wants to sell another $2 billion worth of weapons to Taiwan. That decision comes 5 days after the U.S. approved a previous transaction worth $1.8 billion to the island that China considers its own. That resulted in Chinese sanctions against three U.S. defense contractors yesterday. From Taipei, the BBC's Cindy Su has more on that.
Under Mr. Trump, Washington has veered from long-standing U.S. practice by visibly strengthening its alliance with Taipei through increased weapon sales and high-level visits. That has alarmed Beijing, which views Taiwan as a province to be reunified with mainland China one day. And it has warned the U.S. against emboldening the island's current government to pursue formal independence. To show its displeasure, Beijing has increased military maneuvers near Taiwan this year.
That's the BBC's Cindy Su reporting from Taipei there. Now, in response to the latest U.S. move, China says it'll take necessary measures to uphold its sovereignty and security interests. A foreign ministry spokesman urged Washington to stop such transactions. Taiwan, meanwhile, said it would continue to develop its defense capacity in the face of China's military expansion. Checking the numbers now, European stocks are firmly in the red, taking a cue from their Asian and American counterparts. That's as hopes fade for U.S. stimulus measures before the election and as coronavirus cases continue to rise across Europe. The pan-European stock 600 index is down 0.6%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 0.5%, while the Shanghai Composite ended little change. There were rays of light, though. South Korea's economy, the fourth largest in Asia, expanded 1.9% between July and September. And shares of HSBC are up more than 6% here in London after the company revealed plans to accelerate its restructuring and cost-cutting efforts. The company's third quarter results were better than expected, though it still posted a 36% drop in profits from a year ago. The BBC's Katie Silver has more.
Europe's biggest bank made $3.1 billion in the July to September quarter. This was in part due to an economic rebound in Asia and the decision to set aside less money for bad loans, a sign they may not be as worried as previously about the impact of COVID-19 on their business. Still, HSBC, which makes most of its profits in Asia, finds itself in the crosshairs of the US-China conflict, with the trade war and political tensions in Hong Kong clouding their outlook. The bank also says it will accelerate its restructuring plan, which includes cutting around 35,000 jobs, and is looking at the possibility of paying a small dividend this year.
The BBC's Katie Silver. What a time to take over as head of the World Trade Organization between trade wars and geopolitical uncertainty. But by next month, the 160-member organization will choose its next leader, and the European Union has just picked a side. Ambassadors from the 27-nation bloc agreed to back Nigeria's former finance minister, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, as the next director general. Back in June, she told the BBC why she wants the job.
I think that this organization needs some reforms to make it relevant for the times we're in. I have a reputation as a strong reformer. With a team, we undertook very important reforms in Nigeria. For over 30 years, I've constantly been involved in negotiating important agreements between countries. It is important to listen to what are the concerns of the Americans, what are the concerns of China, what are the concerns of Europe? What are the concerns of Africa, Asia, all the member countries? And try to bring them to the table around common interests.
Ms. Okonjo-Iweala currently serves on the boards of Twitter, Standard Chartered Bank, and the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. That gives her a broad perspective on the challenges now facing the world, as the BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
She's a very well-known figure in international economic affairs from her time, especially at the World Bank and also as Nigerian finance minister. I think she's probably a candidate that got quite a lot of political clout. So I suspect the EU feels she's somebody who'd have a good chance of getting things done.
There are so many challenges facing the world today, from trade disputes to the coronavirus pandemic, a very hotly contested US election. What will the first priority really be for the next WTO Director General?
I suppose one immediate priority would be to try and sort out the impasse that the WTO has in its dispute settlement system. I mean, it's not stopped working completely, but the appeal aspect of it has been completely incapacitated by the US refusal to appoint a new member of the appeal body, which means that it simply can't function. I mean, obviously the US-China dispute is a major, major problem, not really one that a director general can solve, but certainly one that a director general can use their diplomatic skills to at least try and encourage those two very, very big members to try and find some sort of accommodation.
How could the US election change the challenges for the WTO going forward?
Well, I get the feeling that Joe Biden, if he were to win, would be much less skeptical about the WTO than the Trump administration. Having said that, bear in mind that a lot of the concerns that have been expressed by the Trump administration were actually shared by its predecessor and indeed by some other WTO members, including the European Union, so concerns that the WTO is not really effective in dealing with this phenomenon that China is. And there are concerns about whether the dispute settlement system has gone too far in effectively creating new rules.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Victoria.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.